For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
BT and Sal back on The Fan, 1103. Brandon's here, the Sal Licata Show. Hey, every Tuesday we'll get a chance to chat about the Giants, of course, and Jermaine Illuminor is going to join us coming up in about 10 minutes. First year with the Giants, obviously on the right side, as Evan Neal is on the bench. And, you know, it's crazy because, and we'll get back to these calls and the Jets, 888-808-1019. It's when you play on Monday night, it is like it's basically already week two.
Right.
And you start to look at these stories for both the Jets and the Giants. But number one, both teams play at 1 o'clock on...
I hate that.
Which I hate it. Now, I hate it. It won't impact me this week because I'll be in Tennessee with the Jets anyway.
Right.
But the Jets at the Titans. Jets are -4, in case you guys missed it. The Giants are at the Commanders, 1 p.m. Commanders -3. And just like that, under the microscope, Jets defense, Daniel Jones, nowhere to hide. Jets defense must play better, and Daniel Jones better wake up.
You know, it is funny. We can react to week one, and I don't think it was overreacting even to the Giants. We try to do a level head. Obviously, you get nuts about the performance, but you realize that, okay, well, at least to me, I think that they still could right the ship. Same thing with last night. I think the more telling thing was the fact that Rodgers played quarterback, but you know, and played well. But week two is a different story now because you can't have two bad weeks in a row. And when you give one away like that in week one for both the Jets and the Giants, now there's very little wiggle room. Like, the Jets cannot lose. You know, really, each team going in this game for different reasons. Mm-hmm. Giants can't lose to Washington because it's one of the few teams that they might be able to beat on paper going in, plus coming off that awful performance on Monday. They have to win this game, too. And the same thing for the Jets. Like, you could give one away to the Niners on the road.
Yep.
You can't come back home 0-2 and have that Super Bowl aspiration.
Well, listen, if the Jets, I think the Giants are different. If the Jets are serious, they'll mop Tennessee.
Right.
And, you know, and if not, then it's going to be interesting. I don't think the Jets gave one away last night because they weren't supposed to win. And even though the Giants technically were dogs at home, like a point right. And a half, I don't really know what it went off at, but that was the number. That was one of the teams, just based on what you and I said, and we weren't alone on Friday, like, hey, if the Giants can't beat Sam Darnold and the Vikings, who the hell are they going to beat? Well, this is one of the few teams on the schedule, the Commanders coming up, we think that they could beat. So urgency already in this New York football season, and urgency for Joe Douglas to get this Hassan Reddick situation resolved. Joe Douglas looks terrible with this. He lost three defensive linemen. They got gashed up front last night. They were on the second level before you blinked. When do you think this Reddick thing goes down favorably for the Jets?
I told you, dude. I've been telling you since the beginning with this. I do not believe Reddick is going to give in. Once you get to a certain point where you're already losing money, it wouldn't make sense to then all of a sudden be like, oh, you know what? You guys are right. You have the hammer. I don't. Let me sign up and lose my $5 million, whatever it may be. I also, though, don't think that the Jets and Joe Douglas are going to, based off of one game, go, oh my God, we need Reddick. Here you go. Like all the brilliant tweets last night. Now they need Reddick. Look at Reddick. Oh, he's in a great position. Yeah, that's what the Jets were thinking about last night. Hassan Reddick. By the way, that's not even his strength. He's a pass rusher. They were getting steamrolled by the 49ers ground game.
That's a good point.
So let's not make it like one game. It's just because somebody foolish says it and then everybody else follows, like everything else else in this world, specifically social media. So I don't think that that performance last night by the defense means that the Jets are going to cave on Hassan Reddick. But I also don't believe Reddick is going to cave anytime soon. So I think you're going to, here's what I think is going to happen. I believe you're going to see Reddick hold out until the last possible minute, which is what, like week 10?
I think it's before that. I could be off.
Where he has to come back
To make sure he accrues the air service.
Yeah, and he's going to come back and he'll fake like some kind of injury unless the Jets bend a little bit. Like Reddick is in too deep to go the other way now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure where the resolution is other than when, okay, well, you have to report on this day. Otherwise, you whatever the rules are, I forget, I was reading about it over the weekend, like you lose everything.
Yep.
So he'll come back before he loses everything, and he'll maybe say that he's injured or can't play. And we've seen this before. I think that's where we're going with this Hassan Reddick Jets situation, unfortunately.
I think it's going to be a lose-lose for both of
you. Yeah, it already is.
I really do. Yeah, the Jets need him, and he's getting banged out for a whole lot of money, which he will never be able to recover. Now, I do think... And I don't think that this is impossible. Maybe, you know, kind of save this more conversation down the road. But I think based on when he has to report, as Sal just said, and we'll double check the week here.
Yeah.
I think you're looking that up now.
I thought it was week 10.
You might be right. Yeah. You might be right. But I think that there's a chance that by that point-ish of the season, not only do the Jets have Hassan Reddick back, but they've got Davante Adams. I really think the Raiders are going to trade him during the season.
Hmm.
The Raiders' offense is awful, and the Raiders are not going to be remotely competitive this year in that division. Why would you keep him?
Yeah, I'm not even at that thought process right now with Adams, nor will I know what the Raiders are doing other than what they've said, where they basically said they're not trading him. He said he was happy there playing for Antonio Pierce, so who knows? I mean, look, if you get Davante Adams, that just certainly help, and just could use another receiver. We'll see what happens with Mike Williams. I don't know about that. I would actually be surprised if he got traded in season to the Jets.
I wouldn't. I do think he's going to get surprised. I think he's going to get traded. Now, I don't know if the Jets are going to give up a ton here, but the Reddick thing is more immediate and more, you know, more possible because he's not in the building, but he's theoretically in the building. It's just such a bad look. Like, would this happen to the Niners? You know, they got the Ayuk thing. Now, I know that Ayuk is theirs.
Every team got everything resolved.
Well, that's true.
He's the last holdout.
That's true. Now, I will be fair to the Jets. Like, it's a little more complicated because he's not your guy and there's no pre-existing relationship. Now, clearly, the Jets didn't navigate this well. But in the sense of, like, Trent Williams or Brandon Ayuk or other players who hold out waiting for that money, you know, when you know somebody and there's familiarity, there's generally a bridge to have business work out. There's no bridge for Hassan Reddick and Joe Douglas. They don't know each other.
Yeah, bottom line is it's a lose-lose for both. But I would not, if I'm the Jets, and nor do I think the Jets are going to do this. Oh my God, we had a bad defensive performance. Let's get Hassan Reddick in there. Oh, you think Reddick's agent? Yeah, like the popular memes you're tweeting out there. Yeah, Reddick's agent on the phone, like, oh, here we go. Now, that has nothing to do with him. Obviously, you want him there, but the Jets know. Look, the Jets needed Reddick there. That's why they traded for him. Last night does not show anything different than what we all thought. They needed Reddick there. Just like Reddick needs to get paid. That's why he's holding out. He wants to get paid. Bottom line is it's a lose-lose for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, he's a depreciating asset. I mean, every athlete is, but he's 30. And he's very good at the one thing that he does, which is get after the quarterback. And the Jets really need that. So that's, you know, and eventually he's going to have to play football. I just think maybe there's a way to, without the Jets fully caving because of precedence, and that would be a very bad thing next time somebody comes knocking for an extension like this. I do think maybe they juice it up a little bit, find a way to do something now, whether it's convert something to guaranteed. Well, I'll let the capologist figure it out.
Right.
But at least somewhat offset the $5 or $6 million he's going to lose based on the holdout here. But that is the Jets issue right now. Sal, we get back to the New York Giants. Time for the Giants call-in report brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And the Giants, this was not a pretty opener. The Boo Birds were out early, and hopefully this gets rectified. Divisional matchup coming up week 2 out in D.C. Offensive lineman Jermaine Illuminor is with us here. BT and Sal. Jermaine, it's Brandon and Sal. How you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, despite the tough performance against the Vikings. By the way, let me just let everybody know, 8-year pro. You've been a good player the last couple of years with the Raiders, and good to have you here. And the Giants obviously looked at you as somebody who could fix things, and when you take a top-10 pick and put them on the bench, which they have, and you're playing for Neil, that speaks volumes about what they think of you. I guess the first question, What was your perception of the Giants as an organization before you walked in the door, and is it the same right now?
Yeah, I would say that
this has always been a winning franchise. You know, the two Super Bowls they won, and even before that, it's always been a winning franchise. And obviously, it hasn't been like that lately. But my thing was, I always wanted to come here just because of the history of this team and just how the Giants are thought of throughout the NFL. It's a part of the biggest in the NFL other than the Cowboys. And this is where you want to be if you're an offensive lineman trying to really make a name for yourself and grow as a player and a person. So this is obviously one of, as you've seen and how I've been vocal about it, this is where I want to be, and I'm still excited to be here.
Yeah. Now, you're a local kid. You're from Jersey, right? So did you want to be a Jet or a Giant growing up? Be honest.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Giant.
Oh.
Yeah, to answer that.
Smart decision.
I'm going to be a Jet, but I mean, shoot, I wanted to be a Giant. That blue helmet, the blue uniform, you know, the Meadowlands, watching games in there growing up.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, that place was epic. And, I mean, MetLife on Sunday, obviously, it didn't go the way we wanted to. But that first quarter, seeing that atmosphere and the fans, as crazy as they were getting, that was similar to the atmosphere I saw growing up in Jersey when I moved from London. So that's the type of atmosphere I want to play in, and it was cool as hell for me.
And you did get to play in front of that fan base on Sunday, and there were some boo birds out, Jermaine. And I know you had some comments after the game. I thought you hit the right note where maybe Dexter Lawrence took it in a different way. Would you make of all the fans reacting the way that they did to that pathetic Week 1 performance?
Yeah, I would say that, obviously, fans are really passionate, and the fan base in New York is especially passionate about the Giants. And so for us as players, you know, we need to do better to give the fans the winning product that they want, but also what we want too. You know, we put in a lot of work in the summer and spring to go out there and really do not only do our job, but do it to the highest ability and to win. And, you know, no one wants to win more than us. And, you know, obviously Sunday wasn't good enough. We know that. I know that. And we're going to watch the film this week and come back and, you know, we have a good game against Washington and Washington this Sunday and hopefully, you know, get back on track. But like I said, after the game, I understand where they're coming from. I don't blame them. Shoot, yeah, I get it. You know, you pay all this money to come to a game, and you want to see your team win. Everyone wants to see their team win. That's what passion is, you know. And if you don't have passion for this game and love for this game, then obviously you don't care about it enough. And I care about this game and this team and this franchise more than anything. And no one wants to win more than me. Shoot, I mean, Dex wants to win too. He's been in for, 6 years now? He's only been to the playoffs once, so obviously he's frustrated too. And, you know, those are the type of guys you want to win for, guys who are just dominant at the position but never really got to experience what the NFL is offering, like within the playoffs and all that. And, you know, that's what we're aiming for this year, and that's what we want, and that's what everything wants to accomplish. So, like I said, I understand where the fans are coming from, and I feel for them, and, you know, we're going to do better and give them what they deserve.
BT and Sal on the fan, Jermaine Illuminor, Giants right tackle, joining us right now. It is about passion. It is about wanting you guys to perform well. That's where it comes from. What type of impact can it have on a team or on a quarterback? You're in the huddle with Daniel Jones. You guys are getting booze rained down on you. Does that have a negative impact on your quarterback?
No, I would say that, you know, one thing that people don't really look at is the mental side of this game. And I'm always open about it. As someone who struggled with depression in the past and confidence issues, you know, some things like that can affect people. But me being who I am now, I'm the most confident guy in the room and on the field. And I like to think that hopefully my confidence is contagious and it can affect the guys around me. And that's the type of player and person and teammate I want to be. And so, you know, obviously, like I said, who's it going to happen when things aren't going right in games? I mean, you saw it on TV all around the NFL, like when the home team wasn't doing good, they were getting booed.
Not the first series, though, Jermaine.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we need to do better, and we, as offensive line, we need to take it upon ourselves to give DJ all the time he needs back there to, you know, feel confident in us. And so we're going to take the brunt of that and make sure that we do a better job to give him the time he needs to keep the hits out, the pressures out, and like I said, keep him clean throughout the game.
Yeah. So it's over to Jermaine Illuminor, of course, right tackle for the Giants. Local kid, that's Morris Knowles out in Denville. So he made it, which is awesome, and he's with us here, BT and Sal on the fan. Now, listen, Daniel Jones, this isn't your concern. One of the things Sal and I and all the hosts here at the fan deal with is Daniel Jones' contract, and he was a 6th overall pick, and here we are, year 6 into his career, and he's, you know, hasn't gotten to the Super Bowl yet, whatever, when Eli won 2 of them. Those are things that we deal with. That's not for you to worry about. But I am interested to hear your opinion on where you think he is physically, because no matter if you're a big Jones supporter or not, I don't mean you, I mean fans, we certainly know he's a good athlete. He can run when he's healthy. Yeah. You think he's fully back?
Me personally, for what I saw in the spring and the summer, yes, I do. But you have to think about it. That comes from, there's also, there's the, like I said before, it's the physical part of the game and then the mental part. And mentally, when you haven't played a game in a while, you know, your first game back, there's little rust patches you have to go through and rustiness that you have to get off. And like I said, as an offensive line, we need to do a better job of giving DJ all the confidence in the world that we're going to protect him and we're going to go out there and go to war for him and battle our asses off. And like I said, we're going to be in the trenches doing everything we need to possibly do to make sure that DJ is confident back there. We have all the confidence in the world in him. I've seen it. Like, I've seen it in OTAs. I've seen it in training camp. I've seen it against other teams, and I'm confident in selling him. And after the game, I texted him. I was like, look, I got your back. We got your back. I don't care what the hell happens out there. We're going to go full for you every single play and every single down against whoever. I don't care who's going against me. The offensive line is like, period. We don't care who we're going against. We're going to go out there and give him all the time he needs, and we're going to make him know and let him know and show him that we're confident in him, and we're going to do everything we need to build that confidence up and get him to where he needs to be.
That's a great answer, Jermaine. Love to hear that. Hopefully it has a positive impact on Daniel Jones starting with week two. Now, how about Brian Daboll? You got to see him maybe from afar, and you see the fire that Brian Daboll brings, which I love about him, the passion. I know that maybe was a little bit of an issue where he's got to corral that. I was shocked, Jermaine, that after that slop fest that we saw by you guys on Sunday, he was like, oh, we got some things that we got to clean up. And he really didn't seem to be fiery or ticked off at all. Was there a different Brian Daboll that we didn't see behind closed doors where he got into you guys after that performance?
No, not at all. Like, the days that y'all saw was the same days we got. And that's because he's won Super Bowls with teams. He understands that it's only week one. And, you know, if the Super Bowl was won after week one, then shoot, a lot of great teams wouldn't have won the Super Bowl in February. And so we understand that, and we also understand that we have to be better, and he understands we have to be better, but it's not just one person. It's a joint effort. You know, it's not just one person on the field. It's 11 on defense, 11 on offense, and then you have your kicker, your punter, and your long snapper, and everyone else who plays special teams. Like, you don't win games alone. You win them together, and we all understand that, and Dave understands that too. And like I've said in a meeting before too, Dave is one of the best head coaches I've been around personally, just because of how he believes in all of his guys and the belief he gives you and the confidence he gives you.
Yeah.
You know, like I said before, I've always struggled with confidence. So even when I'm out there, you know, constantly reminding myself how confident I am. And having a coach like Dave on the sideline to reaffirm that confidence for you and just show you how confident he is in you is cool as hell. And I love Dave's. And like I said, I'm going to war for him every single Sunday, too.
There you go. So I got one more for you, Jermaine Illuminor, one of the offensive linemen for the Giants, BT and Sal. He'll be with us all season, so this will be fun. We'll get to really know you, and we'll go through hopefully some more ups than downs. Right now it's a down off week one.
It is
what it is. But talking about Daboll, I need clarity on something because we couldn't really tell what he meant. After the game, we all expected more shots downfield. The Giants have some weapons on the perimeter, Malik and Wan'Dale Robinson healthy. You know your teammates, of course, and others who can move. And there weren't any.
Mm-hmm.
Now Dable's answer, I couldn't tell if he was basically saying we called them, but they didn't, you know, basically my quarterback didn't let it fly. You're in the huddle. Were there a couple of downfield shots called that just didn't materialize? What happened?
So the one thing you have to look at with these shots that are called, it's all dependent on the defense and how their coverage reacts to these shots that are called. Like, we can call shots for Malik. We can call shots for Wan'Dale, for Slate, for Jalen, but it all depends on how the coverage plays out. So, yeah, we can call a shot, and we did call shots, but their defense shifted towards the shot, so it left some guys open, like, and shorter routes, and that's what you saw. So a lot of the shorter throws we had, obviously they were shots, but, you know, it's kind of like throughout my entire career, it's always been like, you know, take the profit. You know, in New England with Tom Brady, take the profit. And, you know, that's what made them so good, and that's what made him so good, is you're not going to try to force anything down the field if it's not there, but you also have alternate routes that are available for you when the shock is taken away. And also with some of the shots too, there was just some pressure in DJ's face where, you know, we had a shot called, but there was pressure from somewhere. And as a quarterback, it's hard to get that shot out if there's a little bit of pressure in your face. And so like I said, we have the offensive line need to take it on our shoulders to make sure DJ stays clean, and we give him the confidence in that pocket to really hold the ball for as long as he needs to take that shot downfield. Because, like you said, we have the weapons to do it. We have all the talent in that building. We need to be a winning team and do damage this year, and I truly believe that we will.
You know, Jermaine, a lot of aspects of the game, you know, throwing the football, catching the football, blocking a big, nasty lineman coming at you. Yeah, it's physical stuff that is very difficult for the normal person to think about. But one thing that I always think I would have an impossible time doing is remembering all these plays and different calls. How the hell do you do that in that huddle there? You got Jones barking out a bunch of different things, whatever Dable's saying in his headset. How do you remember every play that's going on in there?
Yeah, that's part of the game is offensive lineman. You know, you have to be able to – you have to be intelligent, one. And then, two, you just have to know your job. And, you know, a lot of – things go into one play that a lot of people don't see. Like, the naked eye doesn't see what all goes into one play. But that's why you're seeing offensive linemen get paid the money they are, because it's such a tough position to play, and it's a really tough position to be consistent at. And so, you know, that's why I love it, because I love the pressure. I love going against all these guys that we go against, the TJ Watts, the Miles Garrett, the Michael Parsons, the Nick Bosa's, Khalil Mack. Like, I love going against those guys. But then also have to know what my job is on a certain play and listening to the play call and knowing what I need to do to help that play work and to get the job done. So, like I said, offensive line isn't for everybody, but the ones that, you know how to manipulate it to their liking and are intelligent enough to go out there and do their job are the ones that are the best in the league. And, you know, that's offensive line play. So I love it. I know I truly believe we have a good offensive line. That will be a great offensive line with more work together. Like, we haven't been able to get the work we need, but, you know, we're going to work on the run and get better. And I truly believe we're becoming a great offensive line this year.
Yeah, and looking forward to watching it, Jermaine. And hopefully I don't see – this is the one thing I always notice about offensive linemen. The false starts! I don't want to hear your name, Jermaine, called at all for those false starts. Keep it clean up there, will you?
Hey, I got you. That was my fault. You know, I have a quick hair trigger, so, you know, I love getting out. Like, I try to explode out all the time, and like I said, it won't happen again. That was my fault.
Trust me, you don't have to apologize to this guy. If you guys don't start winning, he's going to have to apologize to you based on how the interview's going to go. Yeah, right. Oh, man. All right.
Don't worry. I'll remember that one.
There you go. Hey, Jermaine, with this guy, they usually do. So from London to Denville to MetLife, welcome home, man. We're happy to have you all season, and hopefully there's some wins. You got to win. Listen,
it will be.
You got to win this weekend. You got to win this game.
Mm. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun one. That's for sure.
Well, we'll see next Tuesday. But hopefully it is. Jermaine, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah,
appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you having me.
There you go. Man right there. From Denville, you're now a Jersey resident. You kind of know where that is a little bit.
Right?
Not too far.
Right. Okay.
Not too far. Nope.
I like him.
Yeah, sounds like a smart young man. London, you know.
I always was curious about that. The play calling. Like, I never played football.
Dude, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know how they do it.
At that level, and like you see sometimes these shows where McVay's just rattling off or head coach, or, you know, show me this play. And what did I just say to you? You know, Dable and Hard Knocks, right? I'm like, what the hell are they talking about?
I'd be
about
lost.
Here?
I have no idea. And my brain can't function like that.
Me neither. And it's one thing for a quarterback, but then the O linemen, you got to get all the O linemen on the same page, which makes it difficult.
Well, listen, it's not just these guys. Last night, ironically, my son gets his wristband as the quarterback because the season starts this week. Dude, there's 20-something plays that it's just started.
Good
formations,
God.
This left,
he's
this gotta, right.
He's got to study it and memorize
it? Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit different. You'd rather study that than, you know, math or whatever.
Oh, of course. And speaking of math, he comes home. Last night was the first night that they actually got homework because the first couple days you do nothing. I had no idea. Math, fourth grade. Myself, my wife, and my mother-in-law were looking at each other like three idiots.
Yeah,
we had no idea. It's hard.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to the Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Dude, where you laughing? Wait till your daughter's like, yeah. You know, she's four, she's young. Wait.
Let mommy take care of that.
Yeah, I hope, hopefully mommy can, because yeah. Daddy can. I can't.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT and Sal, 11:33, back on The Fan. A little corn for you. Call their number 10-866-540-WFAN. We'll send you there. And a couple of tickets to see Korn at Prudential Center September 23rd from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit livenation.com. So, really enjoyed that chat and looking forward to having Jermaine Illuminori on the all year. That'll be good stuff. It is BT and Sal. They got to get this win. They have to beat the Commanders. The Jets must beat the Tennessee Titans. It's already a state of duress here. But I do think if you miss the open here, Sal and I, you know, we're pretty good. Like, yeah, the defense got smacked, but Aaron Rodgers showed you what he needed to show you. He can still make those throws. And once the defense tightens up, and it will, I believe the Jets won a ton of games, and I believe the Jets go to the playoffs.
Yeah, the quarterback play is the most important thing from last night. The Jets finally, after years, finally have a quarterback. We got to see him with our own eyes for an entire game, not just four snaps. The other stuff, as Salah said, can be fixed. Now, he better fix it, but if you don't have a quarterback, that cannot be fixed, like the Giants. That can't be fixed. They can't fix Daniel Jones in year six, and there is no answer to it. So if he doesn't play better, they're screwed. The defense can get fixed for the Jets, and I think that it will. But Aaron Rodgers being back, that to me is the number one takeaway from last night.
I'll tell you the one damning stat. This might be the worst stat of any team in the NFL all week. When the Jets took the 7-3 lead, 51, the next 51 plays that were run from the line of scrimmage, the Niners ran 44.
God, and I'll tell you 44. Something. That made it to me boring.
Yes, like watching I wanted to see Rodgers. Yeah,
the Niners methodically wear you down. They drive the football short in the game.
Yes, they do. They really do. Ray's in Babylon with BT and Sal. What's happening, Ray? Ray, what are you doing, buddy? Ray.
What's up, Ray?
All right, Ray's got to go. Ray's not ready. How about John right here in Manhattan? What's happening, John? Okay. John is
I'm here. I'm
all right,
here.
Let's go, man.
What's
come
up,
on,
John?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All right.
I'm a little frustrated with BT today, to be honest, because you gave me the 20 minutes about how Salah was going to be a changed man coming into this season.
Okay.
And I have a couple of bullet points here about where there's concern. He took no accountability last night for having an unbelievably bad game plan on defense. I don't know if you caught the SNY post game, but Bart Scott singled out exactly how the Jets were trying to stop the run last night and why it was just such a bad game plan. So that was just awful. I'll give you the offense. The offense, we got some work to do. It's going to take a little bit of time to gel. That's fine, but there's still a lot of question marks with this team.
Sure.
And I just think that...
But what's your problem, John? What do you have a problem with me?
Team, there's no hope. There's no hope that we can outperform better coach team. So I don't know how we could be talking about the playoffs here. We got to be talking about getting one win.
Yeah, I believe that one win comes Sunday when I leave the stadium, Nissan Stadium in Tennessee, and I'll be there. I believe that I'll be getting on the bus and eventually the plane and flying it to Newark late, and the Jets will be 1-1. Now, if they're not, then you're going to hear a different Brandon on Monday morning. Listen, here's the thing, and this happened with Aaron Boone. Remember, you know, when Clay Holmes finally hit the end, and Boone was non-committal about absolutely changing the back of the bullpen. And my response was, hey, listen, I don't really care what Aaron Boone says. I care what Aaron Boone does. Mm-hmm. And what Aaron Boone did immediately after the conversation you and I had on the air, on the show here, he changed things up, all right, with two different players finished the games, and it worked out. I know that, and I use the term pound the flesh, especially in football. I know that we want that pound the flesh when things go awry. You get pushed around. You want your coach to be pissed off. It's not happening anymore. You guys need to stop expecting it. Tom Thibodeau will be pretty honest with you. The Knicks don't play defense or rebound. You know, but that's it. These guys kiss the players' asses. And they always will. So we got to recalibrate. If you think that Billy Martin or Bill Parcells or Pat Riley is going to launch into a post-game tirade, it's not happening.
Right, but there is a difference between that and acknowledging and taking accountability for
he
a
said we got to be better.
Like,
and he said we need to be better.
Aaron Boone is a blind apologist. Okay, but he said, well, he said we'll fix it. He did minimize. Same thing with Dable. Dable, oh, we got to tighten some things up or clean something. Oh, really? That's what you take away? And I love Dable, but that's what you take away from week one? That is an unacceptable, pathetic performance out of the gate. Now, you want us to just say it's week one and it's basically preseason? That I could understand. But let's not minimize how pathetic that was. And same thing for the Jets defense last night. Saleh just kept saying, we'll fix it. Good. You better fix it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Just like I kept saying, you better change the right. bullpen, and Aaron Boone did. Right. They better be tightened up, both the Jets and the Giants. Now, it would be, I don't want to use the word acceptable, it would be a little bit more, a little easier to explain, say if the Giants lose, not the Giant fans want to hear this, but like if they lost a tight one against the Commanders and played well, 24-21, mm-hmm. 2017, like, do you go nuts at that? I'm sure some Giant fans will, depending upon what happens within the actual game, Daniel Jones, coaching decisions, etc. But like if the Jets, under no circumstance, are they allowed to lose this game? That's right. it. And if they do lose, well, then I come on the air
right,
and I
story.
Absolutely go nuts.
Now, the one thing
I didn't think that they'd win last night. The Niners are a great team.
Right. Exactly. That's the big difference here, too. There's not like some scrub team was running all over their defense. They got steamrolled by a great team, a team that they're not on the level of. So there are many different layers to the conversation. Now, the one thing I said, the one reason why I couldn't trust this Jets team going into this year is because of the head coach. And the one job that this head coach has to do is get this defense playing at a high level. And not just a high level, a top three minimum defense in the league. That's his job. That's all he has to do. Now, as a head coach, I'd like to see more than just that, but at the bare minimum, everybody would sign for, all right, let Rodgers and Hackett go deal with the offense. Mm. Just build a great defense, a top three defense that wreaks havoc week in, week out, that can actually stop the run, get to the quarterback, create turnovers, protect the lead. That's what you got to do. That's on Robert Saleh. It was not the case in week one. Understood. He's got to fix it.
I agree. And so far, at least, if he hasn't earned many benefits of the doubt, but at least he's earned that a little bit. Like,
right.
The defense has been very good here. And if anybody deserves a little more criticism, it's the GM, because a weapon in Bryce Huff was taken away. And then he was given somebody, in theory, to deploy in Hassan Reddick. And Hassan Reddick's situation is not resolved. So the head coach who's done it, and I'm not a big Saleh, I like him as a person. I don't think he's a very good coach. But he is a good, he's done a good job defensively. That's undeniable. It's irrefutable. The stats back that up. But when you have Bryce Huff, who was in the middle of a lot last year, and then he's gone, and then you have three horses who were able to stop the run last year, and they're gone, and the guy that you bring in to get after the quarterback is not there, that's not Saleh's fault.
I do think, though, even in last night, like, I'll look at last night and say it was more about the Niners being great than the Jets being bad. And I do believe that it will be fixed, and you will see a dominant defense in week two. But now we have to see it. Like, what I believe, what he says, what you believe, doesn't really matter. They got to do it. But I do have reason to believe they're going to be significantly better. I think last night was just more about the dominance of the 49ers.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Now time for Bald Face Lie, Bald Face Truth with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
Hoffy, what do you got there, buddy? Your turn.
All right, BT, your first bald face lie, bald face truth. Your starting center fielder in the playoffs for the New York Yankees will be Jason Dominguez.
Bald face lie. No, I don't see that happening. Not that I wouldn't want to see it happen. I think that's a bit of a reach there. It wouldn't surprise me if Verdugo starts to crank it up a little bit. He did go yard last night, had a little base hit to left field as well. What they were shaded up the middle, I was able to watch that in between the Jets. And I think they're going to, I'm not saying that I love this, but I think that they're going to run him. As long as he's functional as a hitter and he's showing some signs, I think they're going to run him out there. And then you have the configuration, Judge in center and Soto in right.
So, but wait, where are you going to have Dominguez?
I don't know. I don't know that they're going to play him. I'm not saying what I would do. I'm saying I was asked what I think they're going to do.
Oh, okay. Well, I think he's playing every day. So then the question becomes, does he play in left field or center field? So, I mean, there are two different parts of them to the question. To answer Hoff's question directly, I would say, I'll say bald-faced truth with the caveat that Dominguez is playing every day. So it's either going to be in left or center. You know, he was in there last night. Now, Verdugo happened to be in there, and maybe he gets hot, but maybe that means stands out. I think ultimately in the postseason, it is going to be Dominguez, Judge, Soto, and Giancarlo Stanton. I can't imagine that they're not going to have Jason Dominguez in there. He's here. They said it. I'm only taking it. Now, look, they talk out both sides of their mouth. Oh, he doesn't give us the best chance to win. 2 days later, oh, Dominguez is up here and he's going to play every day. But they said specifically he was not going to be up here unless he could play every single day. And I have to believe that he's going to play every day. Because even though Verdugo is a little bit hot now, I still don't trust Verdugo. I'll say that it's a bald-faced truth. Dominguez will play, and he will play center field because I also think it does good to keep Judge off of his feet in center, have him in the corner outfield and left field.
Although the one thing, you know, by the way, I hope that you're right, left field at Yankee Stadium is not really staying off your feet.
But it's more in center. Is it not more taxing in center?
It is, because you got to deal a little bit with right field as well, but it's not much of a reprieve. I mean, left field in stadium is very spacious.
They've got a little bit of an issue because Soto was not a good defensive outfielder.
You
got to
keep him in right.
Right.
I hear you.
And Giancarlo can't play the outfield, so you're locked into DH.
I don't know.
But I think
they're going to keep Judge in center in the playoffs.
And then just rotate either Dominguez or Verdugo?
Hot bat, something like that.
I could see that. I'm just going to believe that Dominguez, as long as he's here, he's going to play. Because they said that. Go ahead, Off.
All right, Sal, next up for you. Bold-faced lie, bold-faced truth. The Mets will finish with a top wild card spot come playoff time.
I'm going to say that's a bold-faced lie. They're not going to be the top spot. I think they're going to get a spot. And it's not that I'm afraid of Philly or Atlanta. It's what I've been saying for months about this team. I believe they are a playoff team. However, I need to see them beat the Braves head-to-head. Like, all these wins are great and fun. And last night, like, the Blue Jays just gave them a win on a silver platter. You take it, sure. And I'm not minimizing what the Mets have done. They've been a legitimate playoff team. They might win 87 games and not get in. But my eyes are telling me, and it's been telling me for months, that they are a playoff team. However, I need to see them go head-to-head with the Braves and beat them when it counts. Let's say the Mets are a game or two up on Atlanta going into Atlanta. I still need to see them win that series. So I'm worried about more Atlanta and Philly on the schedule and what the Mets look like against them as opposed to where they are in the standings, which I know realistically they could still finish with the top spot. I'm going to say not the top spot, maybe the second spot, maybe the third spot. They'll get a spot. But I'm going to say it's a bold-faced lie that will not be the top wild card.
I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to say bold-faced lie. I do feel pretty good about this team, man. They just keep winning. And, you know, I understand that you're going to have to eventually stare some old demons in the face. This team's starting to show that they might be ready to do that. I know the race is not over yet. I would list it this way, in order of probability. I would say that they finish second as my highest order of belief.
Right.
They finished third as my second highest order of belief.
And first will be third?
They finish first, and that they finish out my last.
I like that. I like the way that you lay that out. Most likely in your mind, number two.
Mm-hmm.
Second likely, number three. Mm-hmm. Third likely, number one.
Yes.
Fourth likely, out.
Unlikely.
Yeah, exactly. I think that they are, I think they're a playoff team. The one thing is, like you said, there's no way to avoid the demons. You can't backdoor in. They're going to have to play the Braves 3 games in Atlanta. Last time we saw this in 2022, all they had to do was win one of those games, and they got swept. So before I sit here and convincingly say I believe in this team, which I do, you have to exercise the demons against the Atlanta Braves. So I can't wait to watch this.
What a run, though, man.
They've been incredible.
You got to be loving this, Hoff.
Oh, dude, this is amazing. As a Met fan, this is exciting, and it's a role reversal of what's been going on over the past couple decades of the Mets always falling on their face.
Dude, they were 11 games under, left for dead by everybody.
No.
Well, this is historic what they're doing.
Not by me.
Come on.
No, You guys asked me over the summer after every month, after every loss, and I was like, they're still an 86-win team, playoff team.
11 games under.
Yes,
any logically thinking person.
Well, I'm not logically
thinking. Okay, well, there you go. That's different. All right, what do you got? What's the third one?
All right, the final one, BT. Brian Daboll will last longer as a head coach of the New York Giants over Robert Saleh.
What was that again?
Brian Daboll will last longer as a head coach of the Giants than Robert Saleh will.
Do you mean
Jets.
Moving forward or just total years with the team?
Moving forward.
Okay.
What does that mean? Isn't it the same thing? No, it's two different things. Saleh's been here longer. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So who do I think will be here longer is the question.
Yeah.
It's actually a good question.
It's a very good question because Rodgers might just do enough to bail Saleh out.
Right.
Even if he doesn't necessarily.
Give him another year.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, he'd probably get an extension.
For a couple years.
You know?
Hey, look, Rodgers might play another 2 years. You don't know.
Oh, God, that's true. I can't believe I'm going to say that. So you're saying, I'm going to say bald-faced lie.
That Saleh's going to outlast Daboll?
Yeah, because I think the Giants are going to have a really rough season.
Yeah, I'm
That is not good for Brian Daboll.
I think it's a great question. I think it's a fair question. I'm going to say it's a bald-faced truth. Dable's going to be here longer because I don't believe the Giants are going to make any changes. I don't think they're looking or itching to make any changes. And I also believe in Daboll himself. I do not believe in Saleh. And I do believe Saleh might last beyond this year. I think Daboll's going to be here a long time. I really believe Daboll, we're talking about, he's going to be a long-time coach for the Giants.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.